Welcome to the Bigfoot Trail Tales, a podcast exploring the landscapes, the people, and the stories shaping the wild places of the Klamath Mountains and beyond. I am your host, Michael Kaufman, Executive Director of the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. Today, we're joined by a friend, a trail legend in his own right, and our 2025 Volunteer of the Year, Dr. Brad Marston. I first met Brad on our very first official trail work trip back in 2017, deep in the Yolaboli Middle Eel Wilderness. While most volunteers hiked in with the group, Brad chose to approach from the far side, walking more than 15 miles from Ides Cove through rough, overgrown country. Along the way, he crossed sections of trail, aching for care, startled a mountain lion, and still arrived in camp smiling, ready to get to work. He showed up a few hours later than expected, covered in trail dust and determination, and in that moment, I knew we were in the presence of someone remarkable. Today, we're celebrating Brad's dedication, curiosity, and deep love for the Klamath Mountains. Brad, welcome to the podcast, and congratulations on earning our 2025 Volunteer of the Year.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a delight to be here, and I really feel honored by this nomination.
So you've had an extraordinary career as a physicist. Can you share how your scientific mindset generally shapes the way you think about landscapes and ecosystems, and also the time you've spent on the trail?
Well, I first learned about the Klamath Mountains reading a book on California geology, and there was this photo of Canyon Creek, and I thought, wow, that looks really nice. I bet it's a lot less crowded up there than the Sierra, and that was back in around 1985 or so. I went on a first backpack trip up there, and I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed the rocks. Since I'm a physicist, I kind of come from that side, the physical side of things. But over time, I've come to enjoy also the biology, the ecology of the area. That was really prompted in part by reading The Klamath Knot by David Raines Wallace, which I picked up in Weaverville on that very first trip.
Nice. Yeah, that was my turning point. I, at the end of my Continental Divide Trail hike, I found that book at a little Airbnb, or you know, whatever they were called back then. And the guy gave it to me, and that was my gateway to the Klamath as well. So was there a particular moment, or maybe a gradual realization, when you decided that trail stewardship would become a meaningful part of your life outside of the lab?
Yeah, so when I was a Boy Scout, I worked on a trail project on the Skyline to the Sea Trail through Castle Rock and Big Basin State Parks. And looking back on that, I really enjoyed the experience. So when I saw that the Sierra Club was having a volunteer trip to the Trinity Alps, I signed up and really enjoyed my week out there working on a causeway in the Deer Creek area. So that was really the start of my interest in trail work. It's a way to sort of get out of my mind. A lot of my work is really mental, and it's my day-to-day work life is very complicated. I have to constantly change my attention from one thing to another. So just being out on the trail, focused on one thing at a time, you know, clearing whitethorn ceanothus, for instance, is really therapeutic.
That's nice to hear. I love that perspective of kind of mindfulness of trail work, because some people might think it was mindless, but I think there is a certain mindfulness to it where you really just zone out and enjoy being where you are and putting in some hard work. So, you know, it's obviously hard physical labor out there. Is there anything else about that work that you find rewarding because you've returned year after year?
Yeah, well, I just like being out in nature. So that's the real reward. And when we have a little bit of time off, I like to explore the area. It's an excuse to explore parts of the Klamath Mountains that I hadn't seen before. And some of the areas are pretty remote, as you know. So I really like that opportunity.
Cool. So how did you first hear about the Bigfoot Trail Alliance?
I think I read about it somewhere online, and maybe it was in the San Francisco Chronicle or the New York Times. And I'd already gone on several trips to the area, to the Yolo Bullies, after I read The Dark Range by David Rains Wallace, and the Siskiyous. And so I really wanted a chance to give back to the area and also meet people that were in love with that region, just like I am.
Sweet. Yeah, it's a wild place to get to know, and it's kind of hard to. So it's nice to have these dedicated work trips to explore new places. So you've covered many miles of the Bigfoot Trail. Do you have a favorite segment or landscape that speaks to you on a emotional level?
Well, I think that first trail work trip that the Bigfoot Trail Alliance that organized, that you led in the Yolo Bullies, was a real favorite of mine, because I started at the southern end of the trail in Ides Cove and worked my way across the wilderness to our campsite on sort of near the north end of the Yolo Bullies, and saw my first mountain lion along the way. I didn't see anybody out there, even though it doesn't have the kind of Instagram worthy pictures, picture perfect landscape that that you see. It's really a deep wilderness, and it has that kind of feeling of mystery that the Dark Range evokes.
Yeah, the Yolo Bullies is amazing. I remember when you stumbled into the camp, as I mentioned in the intro, but it has a real interesting almost maze of ridgelines where there's multiple watersheds that begin across that area. It's really spectacular. It's changed a lot since we were there first, but in a lot of ways the fire was good. So there's still a lot of beautiful places to see. And even in the burn, you often get a little bit better view if the area is burned hot. So how about, we talked about you've been in the Yolo Bully, you've worked with us there, you've been to the Marbles, you've been into the Trinity Alps with us. Is there a particular moment in your trail work history with the Bigfoot Trail Alliance that stands out?
Well, I think exploring Marble Mountain in one of our days off, you led a hike up to the top, and we were seeing all those rare plants. And actually, Marble Mountain has come back in my own research, thinking about how to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So Marble Mountain is really mainly limestone. And it's slowly dissolving as rain hits it, and that's removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So those little rivulets that the kids were playing with, I show those in talks now, and
Cool. Yeah.
yeah, so that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, that place is amazing. I mean, the number of holes in that limestone. I mean, there's endless miles of caverns in there apparently, and yeah, the water just trickles through from top to bottom, comes down. It exits in probably two different watersheds, the Scott River and the Klamath watershed from that point. So really complex area. So you've known the Bigfoot Trail almost from the beginning. Do you have any hopes or dreams of what we might accomplish as an organization over the next decade for both the trail and the communities that it connects?
Yeah, I'd really like to see the trail get national recognition, joining the well-known trails like the Pacific Crest Trail and the Appalachian Trail. That would be terrific, and I think it would encourage more people to go out and explore this region. And I think that will also be good for the communities along the way. So Weaverville, for instance, is a natural stopover point. Hay Fork. Going up to Syosset Valley. So these communities will see more hikers from the trail passing through.
Yeah, cool. It's fun that you mentioned that because we are currently working on a town guide that we hope to launch for next hiking season. And then we are developing a National Recreation Trail application. Mary Court, one of our board members, is doing a lot of due diligence to get that done. And hopefully we'll be able to submit that in the near future as well.
Terrific.
So with someone that, as you are, with a deep understanding of environmental systems, what role do you think, and I know you're particularly passionate as well about the Pacific Crest Trail, but what role do you think long distance trails in general can play for public's climate awareness and also just ecological literacy?
Well, the protection of the trail corridor, of course, is an important way of linking the different ecosystems and allowing migration of animals through the different areas. So that there's a direct benefit, I think, to the protection of our environment. But then also just anyone who goes out in there will experience the changes that have been happening. They'll see that there's been this uptick in fires that is partly due to climate change, increased drying in the summertime. So it's pretty undeniable. And it really gets you thinking about what's happening to our natural world.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've got a student at Cal Poly Humboldt right now that's working on some ArcGIS data for the Bigfoot Trail. And he just emailed me yesterday and said that according to the layers that he's overlaying, 250, I'm sorry, since 2015, 50% of the Bigfoot Trail is burned in some capacity. So
Wow.
that's a major shift in just 10 years. How about speak a little bit about your passion of the Pacific Crest Trail? I know that you are doing in section hikes. I know that you've written some articles, or at least one article, for their Communicator magazine. So tell us about your passion there.
Well, I never thought I would be a long distance hiker, but when I hiked the John Muir Trail in 2013 through the High Sierra, which basically coincides with the Pacific Crest Trail, I really got hooked on this. And the thing that surprised me the most is that although the John Muir Trail, of course, is extremely spectacular, I found that I enjoyed being on the trail wherever it was, even in the Mojave Desert, places that people wouldn't think, first. That wouldn't come to mind first as a place you'd go hiking.
Yeah.
So it really opened up my eye to the diversity of landscape. I love passing through different regions, seeing like the beginning of the Sierra, the end of the Sierra, and I just finished hiking through most of Washington State, which has a tremendous variety. And I've hiked the part of the Bigfoot Trail that coincides with the Pacific Crest Trail. So I just have about 500 more miles to go in California, and then I'll be done.
Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite sections of the PCT is the San Gabriels, and hardly anyone ever really hears about that because it's kind of like folks are racing through to get to the Sierra. But what a spectacular, those transverse and peninsula ranges in Southern California are spectacular.
Yes.
And you've done the desert stretch?
I've done all but the part from Agua Dulce to Tehachapi.
Okay.
I was hoping that the trail would get rerouted off of the Mojave desert floor up into the Tehachapis, but I'm sure that's going to be completed in my lifetime. So I've just decided I'm going to do it in March.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard about this reroute. I agree with you that we'll see it when it actually happens. Well, just to wrap this up, you've been spending a lot of time in Northwest California with us on the Bigfoot Trail and in other capacities, doing a little sabbatical at Cal Poly Humboldt. So if the stars align, I understand that you and your wife may potentially move to Northwest California. And what might bring you to this corner of the world, and what excites you about the region?
Well, we love the natural abundance there. My wife likes the ocean and the mountains, so that's a great place to enjoy both. We like the people; they're very friendly. We've made friends in the area, and so there's just a lot of things to do. And then, of course, I'll be closer to the Klamath Mountains. I'll be able to help out with the trail work a lot more often. So I look forward to, keeping active as I move into retirement. And right now I'm really busy. I'm about to become the president of the American Physical Society. So after a year of that, I'll probably be completely exhausted, waiting, just ready to go up to Northern California and chill out.
Nice. Well, Brad, you've done amazing things both with your career, your family, and then also with the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. We really appreciate everything about you and look forward to continued collaborations in the future.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I'm really looking forward to that too.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Bigfoot Trail Tales, produced by the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. We are a 501c3 nonprofit working to support the 360-mile route to the Klamath Mountains with educational and recreational opportunities. To learn more, visit bigfoottrail.org.